What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And what's going on? You got Matt or Has. Another week, another Tweak talks coming at you. Big news this week. Couple big tournaments. And also a big Switch 2 coming out. All right. We all had the pleasure of watching. I think we all watched, right? You watched the whole thing. Charles got up at 4 a.m. or whatever time.
3 a.m.
Yep. Yep. Well, he did that. So nice job, Chuck. We'll get our impressions on that. We'll talk a little bit about Wolf O'Donnell. I think he's going to be a topic today. We already recorded Patreon content. Gav, are you uploading anything, Gav? Or is it just us?
I did upload. I was going to ask y'all how it went. But I'll upload some VOD as well this week for sure.
Yeah, we did. Gavin's going to do a VOD upload, as you said. And then we did Unk Talks, which is just me, Pink, and Charles, where we talk.
Soon to be first.
We pretty much talk shit about all the younger people in the Smash community. So true. If you guys want to check that out, Unk Talks.
Gavin's like, wait, shit, I'm going to watch this before I upload it this time.
I'm old. Yeah. It's okay.
That may come up today.
I don't know if you're allowed on Unk Talks just.
He's not on Unk Talks, but he is.
Oh, wait, what? Older. You at least 30 years old to be on Unk Talks, right? That's fair. Least 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Sorry, Gav, not yet.
I'll be there.
We were talking. Someday. We probably won't be there at that point. Who knows? Maybe we will.
Just me.
Great Unk Talk. Yeah, just you.
That's just another benchmark for me to be like, damn, I'm old. Like when Gavin's on an episode with us on Unk Talk, I'll be like, damn, god damn, I'm old.
You guys gotta stop, because we were talking on the bonus content about or maybe it was before, but we were talking about Paris and Void, and you were like, yeah, they're like in their mid-20s. I was like, what the fuck? Who's in their mid-20s?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Welcome to reality, Has. We got hit with reality stone. This shit sucks.
Yeah, it's all good though. I mean, we're having a blast. I love Battle of BC. I had a great time as a viewer. I thought it was a super fun tournament to watch for many reasons, and I think there's way too many to list. And I think it just kind of starts and finishes with "ouch" is like the main thing. I want to talk about. I think the best way to do this is just a condensed, maybe around the horn, one takeaway or one set that you guys really liked and why. I think that would be a great thing to do. And for me, it's hands down. Well, I shouldn't say hands down, because I enjoyed many sets from this tournament. Shout out to Gluto is like the first thing, easy enough, obviously. He won the pre-local too, right? It was like the stack
all
pre-local.
Link.
He was just gaming.
He wasn't
that
all
shit. He wasn't all Link. Hey, everyone was clowning on that Link at the beginning of the year. Hold on now. Might have been the most fundiest player on the planet if he wasn't already.
No infinites allowed.
Can't give that guy enough compliments, bro. Anywhere they speak French, he gets a power up, so that's pretty good. And ouch, man. My favorite set of the tournament was ouch, Mia. I just thought it was an incredible set, and I think it was just a great example of how two players, when they play against each other at such a high level, they have a conversation without actually talking to each other, because there were moments where ouch, bro, he was just wolf flashing. He was just wolf flashing at Mia aggressively, whether it's to finish off his combos, obviously, but also in the recovery. He was just at him. He was just going at him all day. And when Mia hit that parry on like the fourth or fifth one he did, I thought that was the biggest like, yo, fuck you. Like right back at him. Like he switched off of Steve going down 0-2, went to game and watch. Then he parried the wolf flash and backed up, parried the wolf flash on flash on stage. I thought that was like, oh, damn. I thought for sure. Not that I don't believe in ouch. I think we're all ouch fans here for sure. I know we're all ouch fans here and have been for a long time. But damn, when Mia did that, I was like, bro, he's going to reverse 30. Like, there's just no way he's not going to reverse 30 this right now after he played that way. So I thought that was a blast. I thought there were so many sets, specifically that ouch play that was amazing. And I said it to off stream where I think Wolf is, and I'd be curious to hear your guys' opinion, but I think Wolf is the character we all agree on the most in terms of liking and enjoying a character, whether it's playing as or watching or all the above, like everything about the character. Because I think I'm
thinking highly of the character in terms of strength. Yeah,
totally. And I think I'm the lowest on the not necessarily. Yeah, a little less of that, but more just like I enjoy this character. The essence of Wolf is like W, right?
Oh, yeah. I think we all are Wolf enjoyers for sure.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes. Yes.
Wolf you guys are like. Sir. You guys are like here on it. And I'm like, I really like him, but he doesn't like come to mind first. You know what I mean? Like, but I still very much enjoy him. And especially, it's so cool because we got to shout out Jude too. He won a tournament. Yep. Jackal won. It was the wedding tournament.
Yeah, Dan's wedding bash. Yeah.
Thank you, Marcus the Goat. And he went on a hell of a loser's run. He lost to a good Ridley player from Philly or from Pennsylvania. Okay, good. There you go.
So
this is what happened.
Yeah.
Very early, and he won. I think he tweeted he won 14 sets. Is that right? All losers to win the tournament? Were there even that many players there?
Something like that, yeah.
It's Jude, though. You never know. So it's just so cool to see. Hey, everyone at this point in Ultimate, we're all a little susceptible to be a little doomer about the meta and where we're at. And it's just very, very refreshing to see both these players who have been playing for a long time and have had success in the game with this character Wolf stick with him and have it pay off at, you know, the highest level that we've seen. So I just love to see it. And I just think they're both fantastic players. And I had an overall really good time watching Ultimate this weekend. Very, very good. Marcus?
Me? I mean, you know, I'm an Ouch fan. I've been an Ouch fan for a long time.
Oh, thanks. Certified Ouch fan over here. Okay. Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Dang, we got the shirts.
Might be an Ouch Glazer at this point. Cause
that'd be snap. Nice.
Like, I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know if I'm there yet. We need to see more consistent performances at this level. But the pro is nice. That dude be making some good decisions. I'm like, hey, you know who the last person I said? Who's the last person I said that about? Zomba?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that bro, like
the other dude in top 8, yeah.
The conditioning from Ouch is actually ridiculous, man. Like it's like rare to see at this point that people still I don't want to say play Smash Bros, but
bad clip.
Like play God. Like old school, like hey, I'm just gonna walk up to you and do absolutely nothing and see what you do, like and they're just stuck in shield, and he's like okay, so now what? Like, you're in shield, I'm not in shield, like, what's up? Or, like, they'll both be in shield, and he's just drop shield, turn around, grab, or just, like, the way he, like, plays the game, I'm like, I miss seeing this. Granted, a lot of it has to do with, like, the characters and, like, the current meta, like, you know, like, Steve, like, look at what Steve's doing right now for people who can see it. Bros, just hold the B button, like, we're not doing that much, and then, oh, I'm just gonna stop you from jumping over the wall. That's my whole game plan. Like, I mean, yeah, man, like, sure. But, like, when you get to sit down and watch some Smash Bros, like, man, that joint is enjoyable. So I really had a good time watching Ouch this weekend. And Gluto. Gluto falls into that. Bro is definitely playing some. He'll just sit there. Yeah, I'm just going to take this little forward air. Yeah, I'm just take a little forward air again. All right, you tired of getting forward air? Now what's up? Like, I almost look for my real open. I'm a little down tilt here. Let me see how you feel it. Like, stuff like that. Stuff like that. Like, that gets me excited. That's like, oh, my gosh. Like, these people are really, like, thinking about what's going on. But when I just sit there and I lock in and I see, all right, man, Game & Watch did forward air 6 times in a row. Like, yeah, that's my conditioning. You got to deal with forward. Yup. Hey, there's a triple up smash and a down smash. Move. I'm crazy at the game. You got to deal with this. Like, okay, sure, man, whatever. Like, but when it, hey, that's why I like watching, like, Leo and stuff. Like, Zomba, even though Zomba's on Rob, Zomba is playing some Smash Bros, bro. It's a lot harder to see with him. So, I don't know if I have a favorite set. Maybe Ouch Akola, just because of the way it started and ended. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. It started with that, like, bouncing him 3 times off the walls into, like, reacting to everything until I was like, bro, what is going on? Like,
when he had to kill Akola 4 times in a row to get one stock, oh, and every time he hit a kill move, he had to also play the defense out because Akola could viciously minecart at him after teching the wall immediately and possibly kill him at what 70 or 80 and played out every single one. Like, dude, that set to me is like the player diff in skill is so obvious, like you can't even dispute it. I'm sorry, bro. Like, when someone, like, to me, those are the matches where I can't even be mad. I'm like, it when you see games like that where it's just like, wow, this player is just clearly playing, like, I won't even say better player, but clearly playing much better than his opponent. Now, the fact that that was the case and he barely won game 5 is an issue, but we won't talk about that. I think it's just, it's motivating to see someone play against a character that is that overtuned and you're like seeing how overtuned it is as the match is going on. Like, there's nothing to hide. There's nothing to, like, theory craft here. It's just blatantly obvious. Like, when you have to hit four kill moves on someone to actually take a sock, not a lot of other characters in Smash has ever done that, right? So it was very refreshing to see someone be able to defeat a character that has that many defensive options and offensive options as well. I think Wolf is interesting because he was known as the well-round or like the all-arounder Spacey. So it's cool to see things like, oh, back air being a really hard-hitting move is great against blocks, even stone blocks. So he could even take Steve to PS2 and not really worry about stone blocks and stuff like that as well, right? So I think that kind of stuff was very fun to watch Ouch do. And just to see how Ouch played around all the different setups. The thing with Steve setups is even if you learn the Steve setups from last tournament, well, they can build the blocks anywhere. So, I mean, you're going to see all these crazy edge guards too. Earlier we saw an edge guard where Steve just made a wall and then dropped the anvil behind it and it forced Ouch to Wolf Flash, right? So it's just situations like that where you even get to see all these crazier block setups. I mean, Steve is still at times can be interesting, generally can be defensive, but how they set up the blocks is interesting to see and how the meta characters play around it. So I had a lot of fun watching the tournament. So wait, Pinky, you already said your favorite set. So I will... Oh, go ahead, Az.
I was going to say, like, if you looked at our DMs, Marcus, I could tell you which one of the sets was your favorite for fucking sure. Like, just there's just a wall at one point of our DMs that are just all caps letters, like just back and forth. And it's not even like, I think you bring up a lot of great points, Charles, like how the matchup was played and how it wasn't just like that. It was game five last hit. That was the biggest clencher I've ever seen in my life. Like that was just, I truly had no idea which way it was going to go. Like sometimes it looked amazing for Ouch. Sometimes it looked terrible. Sometimes it looked amazing for Akolo. Sometimes it looked terrible for him. It was so back and forth and just so entertaining. Like I just truly had a blast watching that set. It was really good.
You know how like, and I know for sure Gavin understands this, especially as like a prime watcher and predictor of what's going to happen. You know when like, there's this key moment in like a set or a game and you're like, okay, this is the decider. Like when Ouch hit that Wolf Flash on Akolo game five, I said, bro, this is over. There is absolutely no way that he's going to like Akola's recovering from this. It's just like a,
oh no, put him on speaker. Wait, don't put him on speaker.
Put him on.
We don't have 4 hours.
Put him on.
I'll text him back later.
All right. Bad.
If he calls me next, I'm answering.
Hey, dude.
Dude, when he hit that flash, I was just like, one, Akolo didn't even, like, he was stun locked. Like he got hit by it and he just respawned. He was like, bro, I don't even know what to do. Like, he just started getting hit. He was like, I, it's over. And, like, stuff like that, like, it really just shows you that, like, Ouch is aware of, like, what's going on in the game, right? Because to be able to take advantage of something like that, you like go for like a hard call out that honestly could lose you the set. Like if that flash got, if he whiffed, he was at zero, right? Ouch was at zero. So I think the up tilts would have started and he would have gotten like full comboed, or he could have gotten jab walked to the ledge, which is how he was losing games to Serap. So like he took a huge risk and it paid off game five last stock. Like stuff like that is, and then he like took advantage of it. That's when you know someone's like really aware of what's going on in game as a player. So I don't know. There's a lot in that set. It's funny with tournaments nowadays. I feel like we don't really talk as much about the winner. I feel like the people who are winning, it's kind of like, I don't know, you're expecting them to win almost, but there's always like a run somewhere in there where we're like, dude, this dude is different. Like, it's just interesting to see because, I mean, Gluto won and his bracket was not easy. I mean, it was Gavin game five, Mia, I think that was game five. And then he played Serap. I think that was like his not closest one. And then he Spargo. Like, listen to that run. Like, that is incredible. And they're all bad matchups. He doesn't have maybe not Cloud. I'm not too sure on that one. Maybe not Cloud, but the rest of them are like all. Oh, and Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong is really good.
Yeah, and Diddy Kong. But like Game of Watch, Steve, like he had to lock in.
He's been like consistent
And he's been, yeah, he's been consistently
very, very impressive.
And he just lost to Syrup at a Cavalier Clash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Yeah. It was very, like, they both didn't play too well, like, at the beginning. It was a weird one. Yeah. My favorite set was Leo out.
That was a good set.
That was a good, too.
Great set, yep. Dude.
That was actually one of Ouch's first big upsets. Was against Leo, right? No, he did not win. He lost, almost upset.
A hard time
he almost Leo, upset yeah. him at Battle of BC 5 or 6, or yeah, four or five, happening. Something like that. Yeah,
I think I was more focused on that one because I had to play after those. Like I was waiting to play, but I like that one a lot.
That has some history behind it. Yes,
Ouch just has like this quality that not that many players have. Where he's so overwhelming that really good players, you can see them start to perform the basics poorly because of it. Like if you compare it to someone like Zomba, who like simplifies the game because of his own gameplay, Ouch is like simplifying the game because like you just can't play. Like he's like overwhelming you. And like I don't know how to explain it because it's not like Light. Light is like with raw speed. Like I guess it's kind of comparable to Light, but like Ouch just does this thing where like it basically helps with Wolf's problems because Wolf being so simple is quite the weakness at the moment because he just can't like get straight hits to take a stock or win a game and all that stuff. But Ouch just keeps running into the brick wall. Like, it's like he just doesn't care. And you can see, like, his opponent just start to, like, get really stiff and clunky. And, like, it's just a very nice quality to have. And not a lot of players can do that to, like, all their opponents so consistently. Maybe, like, some opponents in some matchups. But Ouch, it seems to be, like, his main thing. Like, it's why he's so good. That's what I really like. Like you'll watch, you know, the Akola set and like things that usually don't give Akola any problems. Like Akola just has to start taking certain hits and getting hit by stray hits that wouldn't otherwise work. Like the ledge pressure is way different. So he's like jumping into back airs and Wolf needs to simplify the game like that. So it's nice that it's such a big quality of Ouch's because you know, there's not just going to be this magical confirm that appears out of nowhere. You're only going to create them if you apply enough pressure. I really like Ouch Leo because it's definitely one I watch the most of when I wasn't super busy.
For me, it's like, as someone who's studied a lot of Wolf, I used to main Wolf, and then even while I was coaching, Wolf was very relevant. There's a lot of direct this character aged like fine wine, I'm telling you. All right, so in the beginning it was a very basic character, right? And then you just got the job done. Like Gavin said, it was a lot of stray hits, 2 to 3 hit confirms, nothing crazy. Still right is. right but then it's interesting because then we had like different eras where Wolf started to feel like he was falling off because he wasn't like didn't have Arsene or something. So there was Wolf's like Charlie that really pushed the punish game that had like 1 to 2 frame, like you have to be playing incredibly well to get these confirms, right? There's technically up throw back air and things like that on certain characters at certain percents, and that's a real confirm, but it's just so tight. And I would always tell people would be like, oh, Fox is harder to play than Wolf. I'm like, I actually think Wolf is harder to play than Fox because Wolf has like the actual combo game for Wolf is way harder than Fox. Fox, it's more about tech chasing consistently with up smash. Like I would say that's one of the harder things with Fox, and then playing all the -2 matchups that you have to play in tournament. But then watching someone like Ouch is interesting. And even the, you know, earlier on when the first time I saw Ouch just in general, I was like, man, it's interesting because he's not doing his offense feels strong, but he's not doing the Charlie confirms.
Yeah.
It's more based off of resets. And I think
it's a little bit more free flow in like quote unquote like tournament gameplay
Yeah, I think Ouch just knows the scenarios that will win or that will take stocks. I think he's very familiar with, like, he gets a connection and he's like, well, realistically, the only way I can get a stock is if I put them on the platform instead. So instead of Nair, I'll Fair or like Falling Up Air and things like that, right? So he just goes for a lot of reset scenarios. And then there's these certain parts of advantage state where people might, or even in neutral, sometimes he'll just flash in neutral as well. But I think he knows where to put certain power moves, even like back air. There are a lot of moves that Wolf can take a little bit more of a gamble and get the stock at around 100, which is a really early stock for Wolf. If you get your opponent's stock at like 80 to 100, amazing for Wolf. Because usually Wolf has to get a stock with like forward tilt, right? And that, or back throw. And then we're talking more 130 to 150. So I think Ouch just does an incredible job of taking stocks with Wolf. And a big, big part of it is just his, I wouldn't even say it's his combo game. It's his combo routes. His combo routes make a lot of sense. And he just knows how to have a great combo route to set up his next situation. So instead of getting damage, he trades damage for situation. And then he is very strong in those situations in terms of like his own experience and stuff like that. So just, again, like Gavin is saying, simplifying the game to the point where you know where you're comfortable, you know where you can take stocks really efficiently, and then it feels like Ouch just continuously sets it up. But also, it's not that simple because you're also playing against these crazy reversal characters like Steve. So it's honestly insanely fun. And he dies. Like, okay, see, boom, easy.
Like just, the only move he got hit by was 4 minecarts.
Yeah, and he lost a stock. So it's like, yeah, I will minecart because it is strong. Hey, it gets the job done. But the thing is, I just love watching Ouch because even when he's playing, especially the Aquila set, which is one of my favorite sets, like that was so raw. Jesus.
He just wolf flashes, bro. It's my favorite thing about him. He does not give a fuck, dude. Well, he does, but you know what I mean.
He is playing around Steve reversal options so well with Wolf. Like, he's not doing it with like giant sword. He is doing it with a fucking spacey. Like, his hitbox is his hurtbox. He is committing there. In that sense. So you have to be even cleaner. There's way less room for error because you can't just be like, I'm going to cover myself in a disjoint. And as long as Steve like generally minecarts in this area, I win, right? You have to be so much more precise with a character like Wolf. And it's so fun to watch someone's offense. Like, they're that surgical with their offense. Like, oh my God.
Right.
So fun to watch.
You're so right, Charles, because it's not just about the true combos, which are sick. It's things like the callouts with the Wolf Flash or the way he dances around Steve in disadvantage and then turns it into something else. And I think that added to the mental stack that Gavin was talking about, because, oh, I'll drop an anvil. And if he guesses right that I'm going to anvil, I'll eat a forward air. Not against Ouch. You're going to eat soft Nair. You know what I mean? Like, he'll extend it and push it even further. And it adds to that fear factor and that kind of mental crush that he can apply to people. So, damn. I mean, we're basically just talking about Ouch, which I'm not surprised about at all. There was so much to talk about this tournament.
Well, this is his best tournament run. Another thing to keep in mind when we're talking about this is Ouch's best tournament performance by far. Like, it's a pretty insane jump in terms of like his quote unquote usual tournament performances. So, I mean, there is a lot to talk about because it's really,
sets too.
I think for me, what's really kept me so invested into watching Smash, even though I don't play it as much, is when you are familiar with the scene and you see players with potential that are doing well regionally and things like that. And then they have, you get to see them through their journey and how they piece their play style. The thing I love the most about Smash is you can play any way you want and win for the most part. Like, it is going to involve camping, but there are other opportunities to have so much skill expression. And I think Ouch, it's been so fun watching Ouch see his style of play and fit it into a toolbox character like Wolf. And another thing that has aged like fine wine with Wolf is one of those characters, when you look through the history of Ultimate, so many talented historical players have put their play style into this character, and like, we got to see these different variants of Wolf, and I think it's really cool. In terms of competition, Wolf's probably one of my most favorite, or probably my most favorite character in Ultimate, because like with Fox, there's not too many different Foxes that went through the history of the game and showcased and like built on the character. Wolf feels truly like this crazy character that a lot of top players use the pocket or other players would main. And we got to see so many different levels of skill play the character, and even seeing it continue in 2025 is crazy. Like watching Ouch and Jackal still push the character is so sick, and they both have very different play styles. So yeah, just a huge Wolf fan over here. What up?
We do love Wolf.
We do. Bro, if you told me in 2018 that I'd be popping off for a Wolf down smash at the ledge, killing at 60, ain't no way. You know what I mean? But hey, 2025, it hits a little different. It hits just a little different when he's trying to go off, Ouch.
Hey, footstool uppy was very important. Like the new tech that Wolf has been working on, it is very needed, because I mean, one of the biggest things about Wolf when you talked about him throughout the whole entire history of Smash is out of shield his ass. I've been seeing a lot more forward air out of shield, and Ouch using forward air, like the first part of it, to anti-air things like minecart startup and things like that, insane, by the way. So
you know who else used forward air in that way was Gluto too. Like when he was fighting out of a corner, he was forward air, like he'd parry forward air, like parry cloud back air then forward air, and like just push for a little bit of space. Like
yeah, it's the biggest Wario habit in the world.
Yeah,
is fair out of the corner.
True.
And you get
many tournament sets, many stocks.
I've seen Gluto lose a lot of stocks to
I've won air. Many situations because of it.
Yeah.
You live and die by fair out of shield, bro.
And then you get up smashed by Cloud or Fox. See ya.
Yeah, I've been Arsene up smash, fucking bullshit. That too.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's just a reaction whenever you're in that scenario, you just
You don't got nothing else.
Your body does it for you, bro.
You wanna fight back. That's what it is. You wanna fight back.
Get me out.
Fighting back is great.
Diddy Kong fair out of shield is a very similar thing too.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to Gluto for sure. I think the name of Battle BC for a lot of the players that did well is truly like their skill with their character just simplifies their like the entire match and like their opponent. Like Gluto is getting situations that you think players just wouldn't give him.
Yeah.
Like roll-ins and spot dodges and shield grabs, whatever. Like he's been doing that from day one where he's putting on so much pressure that he eventually gets what he needs, and it's from you. It's not from him. It's from the opponent. And I think that's like a really cool thing to note from this tournament is that like somehow in 2025, there's still a way to get these opportunities that you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
And Spargo's been doing it the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, Spargo has simplified ultimate more than anyone. You know what I mean? Like, he'll back here the whole set and like, but he's so fast. Like you're going to go for the shield grab. Eventually you're going to roll, you're going to spot dodge. Like it just feels like the name of the game with like a lot of these players that did really well. And like especially like the top half of the top eight and whatnot. It's pretty interesting to note.
It's tough. Cause I just know next event Sonix is going to pop off. I was going to say hurt, but unfortunately he won't be at anything for a little bit. Which sucks. Who else? One Steve is going to go ballistic. Like, I think it's what level up is like the next big thing. I think it's a lot of Japanese players.
Yeah.
Maybe me is going to be there. They're all just going to lock in their game plans and we're going to be like,
it's going to be
this game is trash. We'll be back at
this point. Play this game.
What is Smash 6? Hey.
Hold on.
Hey.
Get there. Wait, real quick.
We didn't a say long ass else. Time, probably, not gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hold on. I don't know about that. Hold on.
I mean, there's sure a couple that. Things to talk about that we've never really talked about
before. Uh-oh. But I'm telling you that.
Before we get the switch, just real quick, shout out to Syrup for beating Hurt, someone who's been unstoppable this season.
Hurt and Zomba, good. Or Syrup Syrup and Zomba, good job.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the thing about Syrup and Hurt, the thing that I really liked is that that Ness comes out and is worth its value almost every single tournament, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Because Hurt, I casted that top eight, Genesis, Akol against Hurt. It wasn't even close. Hurt is one of the best, if not the best in the world at that matchup, straight up against Steve. So seeing Syrup having that matchup work out, I love to see it. Zomba had a great tournament as well. What else is new? He's been really consistent.
His losers runs have been really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's been putting a big dent in the losers bracket when he goes there.
Got knocked in the losers by TG. What the?
He remember who he is. He
apparently he's never going to beat him. So
Monty's about to be like a top 10 player.
Corey Gurry has beat Zomba like every fucking time. It's been
dang.
Like
TG's times. Like, oh, it's Zomba time to farm. Dang, man.
That's my goat. You guys know that. TJ rules.
He's always asking me about that matchup. I'm like, bro, what is your problem? Like, I don't know.
It's funny because the first two matches of that set, because actually Zama went up 2-0 in that set and got reverse 3-0'd.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So it was crazy. I was watching the first two games. I'm like, man, Rob's just a better version of Banjo. Like these mid-range projectiles, one's an item. Like, I'm like, dang, this character's just way over, more overtuned than this dude. And then TG just started getting all these crazy Wonder Wings and stuff. I was like, oh no, the win condition has been found.
It was reverse 30. You're right, Chuck. I forgot it. I did watch that live too. I was like, fuck, man. This is a crazy tournament, dude.
Torriguri, so.
Of course. That's the GOAT.
Didn't really get to watch that set, though. I'll have to look back at it. Yeah. I kind of like the takeaways from that event.
Oh, wait. I didn't say my favorite set. I got to say my favorite.
Uh-oh.
It's actually Raru versus Light, my favorite set.
All right, man.
Great set.
It was an incredible display of skill for the winner. Insane.
Oh, did Light win?
No. Light got fucking shit on, actually. Smoked. Yeah, he died. You know what's crazy?
It's
like Fox in that matchup, it's not just at zero. You die at any percent.
Hey, you took a game.
Any percent.
Pretty good.
How did you even lose a game? Wait, dude, imagine playing against your opponent's character and you're like, if I hit you one time at any time, you lose your stock. That's crazy. How did Light even take a game? But yeah, it was mainly my favorite set because it justified my feelings because I went to like a Hawaii regional local thing and fought against two Luigis. Of course, my region plays a bunch of cringe
Luigi
characters.
And Kazuya.
They love Luigi, Game & Watch, and Kazuya.
Percents do not exist.
I told you, Charles. I told you there's one
character. I was so down bad that I was like, I was talking to my friends. I was like, should I just main Sonic and go to every tournament with a plus two matchup? And just make, I don't know, like make them play the negative two. But I didn't do that.
Yeah, but
anyway, I am not doing that. I was going to ask. I was like, man, what is the working man's character? But you know what? I think I'm good on Ultimate, bro. I did three weekends in a row. That was pretty fun, like competing again.
I play minus I did two three all weeks. Time.
Dude, it's to me, I just don't want to. I was like, man, am I really going to drive to a tournament and then fight against my opponent? And like, the risk reward is so in their favor that I literally have to time them out. Like, I don't want to play a game where it's like, okay, well, I just have to run away with you with my fast rushdown character. I'm good, bro. Maybe if my region played different characters, I would be more inclined to play. Because if I'm not going to play Fox either, I'm like, well, what's the point if I'm not playing a character I like, you know? I think I'm just good on the meta. You know what I mean? I think I'm good on that.
We just have to lock in.
You guys can lock in. I will watch you lock in, and I will cheer. And yeah, there you go.
You know, we locked into is that direct. Oh, perfect. Gavin walked away. We get to talk about it without him. All right, great. Donkey Kong, terrible announcement.
No!
Raise your hand if you cried due to Donkey Kong this week.
Is bro hand up or what?
What the heck? Gavin, it's all over your channel. You can't hide it.
You can literally, I mean, unless you...
I was very embarrassed after.
You shouldn't... Well, I understand why you feel that way, but dude, it's very sweet that you care that much. Like, I genuinely watched it. I was like, that's so sweet that you care that much. And I obviously know you love the series. And I was very happy for you, obviously, and B. You guys love Donkey Kong so much, and it's been a long time coming since he's gotten a game.
Yes.
So
February 2014. Yeah. Was the last 2D game. The last 3D game was November 1999.
Crazy stuff.
Very crazy.
I wasn't surprised from your reaction, Gavin. I knew your ass was going to cry.
Does that make me more embarrassed? I think it does.
I just know a little bit more of the lore. Yeah.
You saw it live, Marcus?
No, I woke up. I didn't. Funniest thing about the direct, I actually have a small short story. It's actually really funny. So I had a dream the night before. I was like, bro, they're going to announce Smash, right? So in this dream,
that Kirby Air Ride looked like Smash.
It did for
a moment. No, I wasn't fooled for a second.
But I knew it was.
Chuck was in the call with me. He knew.
Okay, so I was, they were showing like Pit versus Diddy Kong on Kalos, right? And then
good matchup.
At some point, Diddy Kong throws the banana, and the camera goes like horizontally 3D, and then follows the banana off of Kalos, and it goes down, and it's cool. It's like pitch black, and then it it showed like Kalos is like the, you know how it's like stained glass in the background? Well, it was like on the ground, but it was broken. So it went through the stained glass, and there were a bunch of like statues, and it was like and like Zelda came out of nowhere, but then something happened, like all the statues disappeared except for one, and it was like Ice Princess Zelda. Something I just made up. I don't know. And that was how Ice Princess Zelda got revealed. And it turns out we were all in a call.
Twitter's going crazy.
I know.
Ice Princess Zelda.
The trailer went foolish. She had a blindfold on. She had a blindfold on, like she couldn't see. It was like super sick.
Wait, that's wrong.
But then, like, we were in a call, and we were all freaking out. And then Chuck's like, this is crazy. They got, like, all these characters, like, Reginald Hargreaves. I'm like, Umbrella Academy? And they, like, they go upstairs, and they're just, like, on a street. And it's, like, a character from Umbrella Academy and Graves from League of Legends. Chuck is freaking, what is Graves doing? And then it's, like, the last character that gets revealed, a car pulls up. And like we're old heads, so we're like, Back to the Future. You're the car from Back to the
Future. Marty McFly. There was a doc.
Yeah, you were just the car from Back to the car. Just the car, and it was teleporting around the whole time.
Bro, the shit turned into Mugen, bro.
That out of nowhere, And I woke up and I was like,
you need to get, no, stay awake. Actually,
I woke up. I was like, I'm going straight. Twitter, and I was like, wait, I just woke up. I'm not doing that. And then I watched the direct.
There Ice Princess Zelda. I can't wait. That's my new like go-to. Like, who do you think is gonna be the next match? Like, probably Ice Princess Zelda seems pretty likely. Like, just slip it in there. I think Steve's gonna come back, and really think it's time for another Donkey Kong rep, with the new game coming out. Ooh. Ice Princess Zelda probably in there.
Get me started.
Oh, dude. Okay. Before
I thought it was Mario.
I literally said Conker's Bad Fur Day immediately because I saw the eyes on the thing, and then I like slowly connected. I was I'm an idiot.
And then B said my card.
B and I got it the fastest out of most people I've seen.
She got it really fast.
She got it fast. She thought it was happening anyways.
That was an amazing call.
She predicted Ridley's trailer. She predicted Banjo's trailer. She predicted Sephiroth's trailer.
That's it. Get her some lotto tickets, bro. What the hell are you doing with these trailers?
She predicted DK yesterday. She's really good at this. She has a really good
too. Sephiroth, didn't she say a Final Fantasy villain or some shit?
Yeah, she predicted a Final Fantasy VII character on the day it got revealed.
Okay, Gav, how are you feeling about the redesign of DK we just had on the screen? So are you feeling, because I know initially
this could take a while, but I'll try my best.
It's growing on me a little bit. I sent you some art today. It was like a side by side of all the DKs, like the original arcade one, the Rareware one, and now the new one. And the way the artist drew it, I was like, okay. Something's happening here. Like this is better than I thought.
So I think in motion it's so expressive and fantastic. And when he's like a little angry, he really does look like Rare DK again sometimes, which is I really appreciate. So now that we've seen a lot of stuff, like we had the trailer yesterday, we probably have like an hour or so of gameplay so far from what I found on the internet if I combine all of it. We saw Cranky Kong and he's just the same. And I was nervous. I was nervous about that kind of thing. Like comparing DK now to the old designs, do they have to change everyone or is it going to look weird side by side? It really looks fine. It looks fine. So I'm just excited to see the other characters. Cause for those of you who aren't as invested as me, it's pretty obvious we're going to get some like, we're probably going to see K. Rool eventually. I don't know when. There's a lot of crocodile motifs and stuff. Diddy Kong will probably be very slightly different. It might even be barely noticeable to most average people, to be honest.
What does that mean to you? Like slightly different how and like why? No, like, why?
We know the change. Like it's in art all the time already.
Is it the one from the Mario?
His eyebrows are like kind of different. That's it.
It's the merch they came out with, right?
Park. No, the theme park, not really. Or in the theme park, yes.
Yes.
But you'll see it on like keychains and stuff. He doesn't have the Nintendo logo a lot of the time. We'll see if he has the Nintendo logo in the game. hopefully he is in the game. It's obviously pretty likely if Cranky Kong is in the game. But yeah, I think they're holding out on the characters for a combination of reasons, like gameplay or story elements or the design changes being a surprise, maybe a combination of all of that. But yeah, I'm happy with the design. I think he looks very fun. He's so goofy and expressive, and it's very inspired. And it's just crazy that all this theorizing like makes sense. Like, we're not crazy for thinking they were doing something with the Mario Kart redesign, the theme park, the Mario Odyssey 3D Donkey Kong rumor from like 5+ years ago. Like, it was just real, I guess. Like, Donkey Kong 64 was like my childhood nostalgia game. I played it before I could even read. I was born in 98. It came out in 99.
He was 22 when the game came out.
He was there. He was there.
And it's just crazy that we haven't had something like this since I was born, basically. And I just love this series. I love the characters. I can't believe DK closed out a console direct, let alone like a direct. Like, it just doesn't even make fucking sense to me. Like, I almost feel like I don't deserve it. Like,
over Air Riders.
Yeah. Seeing my friends, like,
what do you mean? What?
Upset that should happen. Donkey Kong, man. Oh, damn.
I'm like, why did I get my series and everyone else didn't get theirs? Like, this doesn't even make sense.
Like, Donkey Kong fans are so neglected. They feel bad when they actually get something.
It's a F-Zero fan is the skeleton at the bottom of the pool.
It looks so fucking good.
I watched some of it. I was busy today, but I did.
The ingot aisle like motif is like so classic, like DKC2 kind of vibes, like the Kremlin Tower type of thing. Like, oh my god. There's so much rare like inspiration. It's like such a good mix of new and old. It's insane.
Do you think, and obviously, you know, thinking about Smash, the Switch 2 exists now and all that stuff, do you think they'll do like some sort of, is it going to be like Ike, where it's here's old Ike and new Ike, but they're the same thing?
I don't think so.
You think they'll do a Rareware old school DK, new school DK, maybe old school Link, new school Link, like something like that? I'm trying to get ahead of the game here, man, because it feels like they're going to start doing this type of shit they did with DK with more stuff. And maybe that's like a little too, I don't know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just kind of feel it. I don't know.
Because the Direct happened and the Switch 2 is here and things like DK is here, we have a lot to think about for Smash. And it might go against a lot of the things we expected over the last few years and a lot of the theories we thought made sense just because we're actually here now. Like, maybe he will look like this in Smash. And now that we know Sakurai's been working on Kirby Air Ride for 3 years, either we're going to have to wait really long for Smash, or they're working on it without him being the big head of the role.
Yes.
Big question.
Maybe he's only slightly involved. Maybe he's less involved. Maybe he's not involved at all. Or we have to wait extra long. But I do think people have to realize, if we got Smash yesterday versus getting it like a year or two from now, I think it would be much worse if we got it yesterday. Just because if we get a year or two from now, they're going to have a lot of stuff to pick from and a lot of really big inspirations to take from the Switch 2 getting started. And that's like the whole point. So I think we have to be patient. And I think it's ironic, or like it's silly coming from me, because I think I'm saying
you were the deluxe guy. You were like the deluxe guy.
It's more so like I've been waiting for DK for so long, and now that I have it, I'm like, guys, be patient for your series. That's like the vibe I'm giving off.
Funny. The great thing you just said, Charles, because they did announce basically a deluxe for a lot of old games.
Yeah.
I don't want to say old games. You know what I mean?
For Smash, though.
But those they did big, not. Big yeah. They showed Smash when it said you can play old Switch games on your Switch 2. They did show Smash, but they did not show it as one of the upgradable like Switch 2 versions of a game, which I took as a very telling and very big sign. And I also think the chances of us getting Smash for a system reveal is very low, because Smash is a system seller on its own. It gets its own directs. It'd be, I don't want to say wasted, but like it's kind of like a golden bullet. Like you just don't want to shoot it when you have a bazooka that's Donkey Kong and Mario Kart combined back to back. Plus, yeah. Mario Kart kind of scratches the casual itch that like that Smash does to most people who buy it, not like this group included and most people who listen to the podcast. I will say right now, shifting just a little bit, I've already decided that the Dust Bloods is going to be an annoying part of my personality. It's just going to happen.
Switch to exclusive is crazy.
Love From Software. I literally thought it was a new Castlevania. I was so excited when I first saw like the music and the themes of it and like the design. I was so into it. Then it fucking said From Software. I'm like, did From Software take over Castlevania? Like, I was like, probably happier than Gavin. I'm not going to say if I cried or not. I'm just saying, like, that was a thought that crossed my mind. And then I was like, okay, I'm still very happy about what this is.
Would you have if it was Castlevania?
No. Come on, man. Cry over a video game? Come on.
That's lame. That's just lame. Yeah.
That's silly. And if I did, at least no one saw me is the key thing. So the thing I said to Gavin, too, is, this all but guarantees a From Software IP in Smash to me. All but guarantees it, like 1,000%.
Getting those cards rolling because Smash wasn't there.
It could be Elden Ring. It could be probably from this game. If I had to guess, because it's Switch exclusive, we are getting From Software in Smash. Clip it, ship it, send it. 1,000%. That was like my main takeaway, which I'm also surprised not many people are saying. But I was like, it clearly confirms they have a very good working relationship. And when you have a good relationship with Nintendo, you get a character in Smash. Like, that's just kind of how it works. And sometimes even when you don't have a good relationship with Nintendo, you get your character in Smash because it'd be like that. But it's just, they're too big. Like, and to me, Smash is like a celebration of video games. And there's no bigger celebration of a series that deserves it, especially a modern series, than From Software and what that team does. It's just fucking brilliant. Like, it's so good. And I'm excited because it just seems like they've captured dark motifs so well, like Bayonetta and Castlevania and all that shit, banger music, all that. It checks literally every box. So I'm psyched in many. That was my favorite thing I saw from the Direct. Like a unique From Software property coming to the Switch 2 exclusively. Like, okay, yep, you've sold me on the system.
Crazy.
I will also happily play Mario Kart and Donkey Kong, of course, duh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm in there, man. So what about you, Chuck? What'd you take away from the Switch 2? I know what you liked, actually. I'll see if you say what you... You said something many times in the Discord call, so I'm curious to see.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite thing is by far it's like Donkey Kong for sure.
What about not software related? What about hardware related?
Hardware related?
Bro loved the mouse. He was like, "Yo, the mouse."
Oh, yo, the mouse. Yo, the mouse. He's but a mouse.
Like a trailer pop would be like, "Yeah, but at least the mouse is sick."
Dude, mouse capabilities, dude. Just I'm just imagining when I see that, I'm like, wow, you can just be a PC player on a console.
Jude was so crazy. Funny in my Twitch chat. He was like, mouse controls Kazuya, mouse controls Zangief.
Yep.
So fucking funny, dude.
We did get Street Fighter Kazuya as well, which was neat. Yeah, mouse 360 no scope Kazuya, like just PC gaming. It's cool, man.
360 with auto turn around is crazy.
So they're always doing a 360. That's true. Yeah, Donkey Kong's great. What else did you have, Chuck, though?
Sorry. So I mean, just for the reason why I'm excited for Donkey Kong 64 is actually it's definitely my favorite Donkey Kong game. I know it shouldn't be, but it is. It's my guilty pleasure game. I know it's horrible, but it was super fun as a kid. I've beaten it probably more than like 100 times, like reset, beat it, reset, beat it, 100% of the game and stuff like that. It's really, really fun. I just love all the characters. The story was really fun. It was a really cool game. So, and then I'm like on the opposite side of Gavin. I gave up hope. I was like, yeah, this franchise is cooked. Like, we ain't getting shit forever. And then, wow, like it actually, so it's pretty crazy that we're going to even just get the game. And even just talking earlier or last night on Discord, the fact that it's like a Switch 2, like pretty much release game, the amount of love and care going into this game is, I think for me as a Donkey Kong fan, that's the overwhelming part. Like, it's nice. It is great that the franchise is finally getting attention, but it just feels so all at once because we're finally getting something.
Doesn't make sense.
And they're putting so much attention. Like, all of a sudden, Donkey Kong is the main IP. Switch. They're putting the Switch 2 release on Donkey Kong's back, or Mario Kart's back, but Donkey Kong's right next to Mario Kart. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. So the fact that, I mean, obviously Mario Kart's going to be the biggest game for it's every console or whatever. But like, bro, that's the one that's going to be carrying the Switch to release. And the fact, I think it's great for Mario Kart 2 because it's been so long since we had a new one. So even Mario Kart for me was super exciting. I mean, the amount of content they're putting into the game, the quality of the games, like Nintendo catching up on the specs is crazy. There's so much. I think the hot points to talk about is the price stuff, right? Obviously, people are complaining about the price, but I think we did get a bunch of quality. I know Haz was talking about that in terms of like the quality jump. You have to calculate that with the price increase, which is interesting to talk about. And then also possible rollback because Street Fighter 6 confirmed for Switch 2. And if you have crossplay, that means, I mean, at least we know there's going to be games on the Switch 2 with rollback. So if we get a not deluxe Smash, the chances of it having rollback, because I know we've had rollback games on the Switch 1. So I know that's not like a super new thing, but I just feel like if we don't get a deluxe, which I think got confirmed by not having a Smash show in this direct, right? So the fact that they didn't show Smash means that we're probably not getting a deluxe, which means pretty high chance. I will be hopeful for rollback. And yeah, I just think it's even looking back on the history of how Smash is used by Nintendo as a marketing arm, I don't think Smash has ever been a title release. I don't think it's even I guess the more I think about it, like how much do you sacrifice essentially if you can't, if what do you call it? How do I word this? How much do you sacrifice if you make a deluxe and you don't use Smash's marketing? Like you would have the fighter passes, but I just think it's really interesting to even bring up the deluxe conversation again and like how likely it's not deluxe because we usually see Nintendo use Smash as a marketing tool, right? Like Inkling being a part of Ultimate and stuff like that with a new engine. So I just say all of this to say that I'm agreeing with Gavin. I think we're going to get Smash a little later down the road. I think overall that's more beneficial to the community as well, because I think just content wise and all that other stuff, if we had a deluxe, it would not be a similar percentage jump from Smash 4 to Ultimate. I don't think we'd have that big of a leap in terms of content numbers and all that other stuff, right? So I think getting a new game is good. I think we are getting a new game, and it just tracks with Nintendo's history of the timing they use Smash games for. I think, I mean, the only one you could argue is maybe Melee, right? Being a kind of like pretty close to release for GameCube. I remember Melee being one of the earlier games I got on GameCube as a kid. I don't know like the exact dates or whatever, but I mean, Pat, other than that though, we've generally seen it used as like a marketing tool within a year, right? Which is pretty quick
for Smash. I think the most important thing for deluxe is a lot of people are probably misunderstanding the what a deluxe even means in the first place for Smash. And I think a lot of people also needed to know a day or two before the direct, we learned about Switch 2 editions on the Nintendo app. And then they put a lot of time talking about Switch 2 editions in the direct. And we just weren't sure what that meant. We did, because the only existence of something like that we know is a deluxe, like Mario Kart, Pikmin, blah, blah, blah. And we learned that it can essentially be DLC type of things added to existing games. Kirby and the Forgotten Land is literally getting like a Bowser's Fury type of treatment with like added DLC with its own title. Mario Party Jamboree is getting like, it's kind of like a Bowser's Fury kind of thing for a lot of these games. Or
it's like DLC, right? You would say it's like the same game, but they're getting like a Switch 2 DLC.
Or just quality bumps for like things like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom specifically. Mm. Pokemon Legends and Metroid Prime. Those are like, so we basically kind of learned what a Switch 2 edition is, and it can be anything from an upgrade to something that's closer to like what we already know of as a deluxe. So I think that's also a big thing, is we were creating this idea in our head before they even
put the ground rules out.
Could confirm what it even means to be a Switch 2 game. So that's important. But yeah, I remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, because I've talked about a lot of different things, but do you guys remember when I theorized the idea of the next Smash not being a deluxe or a new game, where it was simply Smash Ultimate itself? just
continues.
Do you guys remember when I suggested that?
Well, yeah, and I can
talk about it so much. That does sound familiar, though. Yeah. I definitely give you credit.
I couldn't expand on it too well, but I think if we were to get anything, it would have been something like that, where technically it's not repackaged or new. Like, it's neither. But at this point, I think it's an entirely new game, but we're going to have to start having the harder conversations, like Sakurai's involvement. Because before any of this, it felt a little bit silly to get so ahead of ourselves and suggest he wasn't a part of it. But now it's a bit more reasonable to ask what the timeline is actually looking like and who's involved. In terms of like character redesigns and like the roster size, that's even harder. But just now that we're here, I guess we're going to start having harder conversations. And it's pretty scary, but we just have to be hopeful and be optimistic for the best for Smash. But it might be a while. It's definitely going to be the longest wait. It's already pretty much the longest wait for a Smash game ever. It's probably not 2025. Maybe we can hope for like a holiday 2026 type of game. Because we got June 5th for the Switch 2. We got July for Donkey Kong. We got some 2025, late, like holiday 2025 for like Pokemon and Kirby probably. Silk Song's going to be somewhere.
Didn't even talk about that. Insane drop. One of the craziest deals ever.
Effortlessly. Like, it felt like a
shadow prank. Drop.
Yeah, they shadow dropped prank. It. I love that Deltarune was a big part of it. I just think it's so cool to watch Toby Fox's story and success continue, just like as a guy who loved and modded video games and made his own. I just think it's a cool story. Yeah. Back to what Charles said about the cost of the system and stuff. Hey, people want new age shit. Technology is not cheap, especially for Nintendo, who's not backed by someone like Microsoft or Sony. They need to figure out and source how to do all this shit themselves, man.
Yeah.
Bigger screen, higher quality, better audio. The dock has more shit in it, including a LAN adapter. The shit costs money.
The webcam, though? The mouse? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, and it's obviously just going to be more expensive just from a quality spot, and obviously the economy is what it is. It's that all of those other factors, tariffs and all that shit, are going to play in a factor here. I did call the price. True, right, Gavin?
We said... You said 450, right?
I did, yes.
I said 400 to 452, I think, yeah.
I said almost 500. You're like, there's no way it's 500. I was like, true, it's probably 450 then.
Yeah, I said higher than 450.
Okay. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you can't dog Nintendo for having a low-performing fucking console then also bitch about the price when they do supply improvements and it's going to cost more.
It's
and
like a weird wake-up call to like,
I'm just saying.
Shit kind of sucks right now, so like prices are kind of crazy.
Also that is a factor, but also we're getting newer, better shit, and it's expensive. Yeah. Like, it's tough, dude.
The chaos is pretty crazy with the misinformation. If you look at like the social media for like let's use Donkey Kong as an example, because it's obviously what I care about. People are just keep saying it's $90. It's not even 80, it's 70.
Is that because people had to go to the EU stream?
I think there's a lot of confusion because there's a lot of different numbers everywhere, or it's just causing chaos on purpose, which is very likely on the internet. Also, that was like fucking Boshi, by the way. I freaked out when I saw that in the live stream in Mario Kart. The outfits are ridiculous. There's so much cool stuff. But yeah, like Haz said, like all of these things we've been talking about on this podcast even for so long, and myself privately, personally, for so long, like the 4K stuff and the bigger screen and the Switch 2 edition game, like it's just all real. And we just saw all of it yesterday. It's like overwhelming. There's so much stuff I wish we could have talked about today that we're not going to get to. But
don't worry, there's always next week for us to talk about who's going to be in Smash and who isn't.
Yeah.
Dude, back to our
How many years I've been saying, like, I'm not going to ask for Dixie Kong until, like, reasonably ask until there's a new game. Well, guess what, motherfuckers?
Oh,
I'm asking for Dixie Kong.
She's got to be in the Donkey Kong game first, though.
I believe.
I do, too. I think they're going to do it.
They're hiding it for a reason.
It's a big reveal.
Yeah.
One thing I actually wanted to give context to. When we're talking about Sakurai's involvement, if you don't keep up with Sakurai's YouTube or have seen his YouTube videos, you should check out his channel. It's very interesting to see his YouTube videos and see how he obviously a amazing game developer that has developed my favorite game series.
That they'll tell you he's developing it. No, they don't do that for other individuals. In that entire Direct, they didn't mention one singular person. But yeah. For Kirby Air Ride, they're like, yo, this dude is working on it. Like, that's how powerful.
Well, what would it be his official game? Like, game director? Or
yeah. I don't know.
Producer, director, whatever, yeah, whatever he wants to be called.
They don't just do that for like anyone, but like he's so popular, the Smash guy. And like well known as like
he's the guy,
genius developer that. Yeah. That like if he's involved, like it's like a marketing strategy to mention his name. Like that is yeah. so fucking badass.
Did he even got like the logo with the four different directions bro. With the color, dude? Yeah, Sakurai be Brandon. All right,
he's raw, bro. I know, like especially in the competitive community, we kind of give him shit. Like,
oh yeah.
A lot of it undeserved too, obviously. Like he doesn't decide to make Donkey Kong's down tilt slower. You know, like that's not really
negative.
That's
where his
goal. They nerfed right. his recovery. They nerfed his recovery and buffed Pac-Man. So that was pretty interesting.
But he gets so yeah.
Because Sakurai's completely involved with those nerfs and buffs, right, guys?
That's what people said though, right? Like shit like that. But yeah, he truly is a visionary and just
yeah.
He loves games as much as all of us, except for maybe Gavin.
I don't think he cried at Donkey Kong.
He might have, bro.
If he did, I need a hug because I'm getting made fun of, bro.
So pretty much in one of his videos, he talks about being involved, like Nintendo asking him to do a like game and kind of gives his timeline because he's giving his timeline yeah. of when he did his YouTube videos and how he had to like pre-prep them and then release them. So he kind of gave his fans a general timeline. He was working on a game and everyone thought that was Smash Brothers.
It was April so that's 2022, why I think
he
started.
Dude, right, I feel right. like so he's always been like in this wavelength, like he's always been a troll. He's leaning into it more, man. Because he tweeted yesterday, he leaned into it more
because stop yapping.
Before the Direct, he was like, oh, what is this? I have no idea. Motherfucker, your game just got announced.
Your game closed the fucking presentation. Yeah.
Well, second to Donkey Kong, but being second to Donkey Kong is a good, you're doing something right if that's what you're doing.
It's so just, everyone pretty much just thought he was working on Smash, but he got confirmed in the Direct that he was working on.
That's it.
Right, it got confirmed that he was working on Kirby Air Ride 2. So this is a really big deal because now we all thought because that I mean that's probably why a lot of people in the Smash community were thinking we were getting something in this Direct because we're all assuming the information with Sakurai being involved with Smash, but it was Kirby Air Ride 2. So, and then also we didn't like, I think we got so much information about so much things all at once and also a new Donkey Kong fucking W. So
it's just crazy because it was all Kid Icarus people saying Kid Icarus. And especially the theory about Kid Icarus being one of the main focuses for mouse controls made a lot of sense to me. The Kid Icarus Uprising remake.
That could still happen.
It was easily. Yes, absolutely. It was famously known for being ahead of its time and having a hard time because it's a 3DS game with the controls. So it seemed like a fantastic candidate. But it seems like the mouse control candidate is mostly like Metroid Prime 4. In terms of like big first party, like famous IPs. The other stuff is all like the like wheelchair basketball game, which looks really fun, by the way. That's like one maybe you could use for mouse controls. It's more like a like an arms kind of angle with the mouse currently. There's nothing too like super serious. So the Kid Icarus thing made sense, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hell yeah, man. Well, we already recorded Patreon content, so we won't be doing that today.
Yes.
A lot of fun, a lot to look forward to with the Switch 2. Tournaments coming up, including at Level Up Expo. It's going to be an amazing time. Yep. Switch 2 comes out super soon. Like, you're going to be at...
2 months?
Flying,
what?
You're going to be flying to Smash tournaments, playing your Switch 2, like, very soon, which is just insane.
I'm going to be home from all of my busy traveling in the middle of May, and we're, like, almost there, so...
Hell yeah, man.
And then right after that comes out, wait, like, a month and a week or two, and I'm playing my dream video game, so...
Let's get it, man. Crazy. Good stuff.
We're eating good.
Take us out, Gav.
Thank you so much for watching, as always. If you guys are interested in bonus content, I do a lot of VOD review over my tournament wins, losses, all that good stuff. We also record just general bonus content with all of us. Yeah, have a good one. Thank you so much for supporting, as always. Bye.